One morning when Rachel went off with Judy to play with the other children, she was too young to attend school any longer. Saray said, "Saul, we have to take her to Hyperion." Saul stared at her. "What?" "You heard me. We can't wait until she is too young to walk, to talk. Also, we're not getting any younger." Saray barked a mirthless laugh. "That sounds strange, doesn't it? But we're not. The Poulsen treatments will be wearing off in a year or two." "Saray, did you forget? The doctors all say that Rachel could not survive cryogenic fugue. No one experiences FTL travel without fugue state. The Hawking effect can drive one mad, or worse." "It doesn't matter," said Saray. "Rachel has to return to Hyperion." "What on earth are you talking about?" said Saul, angered. Saray gripped his hand. "Do you think you're the only one who has had the dream?"
"Dream?" managed Saul.
She sighed and sat at the white kitchen table. Morning light struck the plants on the sill like a yellow spotlight. "The dark place," she said. "The red lights above. The voice telling us to go to Hyperion to make an offering." Saul licked his lips, but there was no moisture there. His heart pounded. Whose name is called?" Saray looked at him strangely. "Both of our names. If you weren't there, in the dream with me, I could never have borne it all these years." Saul collapsed into his chair. He looked down at the strange hand and forearm lying on the table. The knuckles of the hand were beginning to enlarge with arthritis. The forearm was heavily veined, marked with liver spots. It was his hand, of course. He heard himself say, "You never mentioned it. Never said a word." This time, Saray's laugh was without bitterness. "As if I had to. All those times, both of us coming awake in the dark, and you covered with sweat. I knew from the first time that it was not merely a dream. We have to go, Father. Go to Hyperion." Saul moved the hand. It still did not feel a part of him. "Why, for God's sake, why, Saray? We can't offer Rachel?" "Of course not, Father." "Haven't you thought about this? We have to go to Hyperion, to wherever the dream tells us to go, and offer ourselves instead." "Offer ourselves?" repeated Saul. He wondered if he was having a heart attack. His chest ached so terribly that he could not take in a breath. He sat for a full minute in silence, convinced that if he attempted to utter a word, only a sob would escape. After another minute, he said, "How long have you thought about this, Mother?" "Do you mean known what we must do? A year, a little more, just after her fifth birthday."
"A year? Why haven't you said something?"
"I was waiting for you to realize, to know." Saul shook his head. The room seemed far away and slightly tilted. "No, I mean, it doesn't seem... I have to think, Mother." Saul watched as the strange hand patted Saray's familiar hand. She nodded. Saul spent 3 days and nights in the arid mountains, eating only the thick-crusted bread he had brought and drinking from his condenser therm. 10,000 times in the past 20 years he had wished that he could take Rachel's illness, that if anyone had to suffer, it should be the father, not the child. Any parent would feel that way, did feel that way, every time his child lay injured or racked with fever. Surely, it could not be that simple. In the heat of the third afternoon, as he lay half-dozing in the shade of a thin tablet of rock, Saul learned that it was not that simple. Can that be Abraham's answer to God? That he would be the offering, not Isaac? It could have been Abraham's. It cannot be yours. Why? As if in answer, Saul had the fever vision of naked adults filing toward the ovens past armed men. mothers hiding their children under piles of coats. He saw men and women with flesh, hanging in burned strips, carrying the dazed children from the ashes of what once had been a city. Saul knew that these images were no dreams, were the very stuff of the first and second Holocausts, and, in his understanding, knew before the voice spoke in his mind what the answer was, what it must be. The parents have offered themselves. That sacrifice already has been accepted. We are beyond that.
Then what? What?
Silence answered him. Saul stood in the full glare of the sun. Almost fell. A blackbird wheeled overhead, or in his vision. Saul shook his fist at the gunmetal sky.
You use Nazis as your instruments. Madmen, monsters. You're a goddamn monster yourself. No.
The earth tilted and Saul fell on his side against sharp rocks. He thought that it was not unlike leaning against a rough wall. A rock the size of his fist burned his cheek.
The correct answer for Abraham was obedience, thought Saul. Ethically, Abraham was a child himself. All men were at that time. The correct answer for Abraham's children was to become adults and to offer themselves instead. What is the correct answer for us?
There was no answer. The ground and sky quit spinning. After a while, Saul rose shakily, rubbed the blood and grit from his cheek, and walked down to the town in the valley below.